Bueno, estamos en la previa, es tremendo porque estaban los dos oyentes que los tuvimos que sacar, van a ir a Meet and Greet.
Así es.
Nos quedamos tranquilas, estamos en un hotel céntrico de Buenos Aires, como estábamos contando. Está por venir, vinieron 6 personas y ya llegó.
Okay.
Bueno, acá estamos nada más y nada menos en una sala del hotel con Roger Waters, muy contento de tenerlo acá. Y lo primero que le voy a preguntar es, a cada país donde va, él habla mucho de política, entonces si lee antes de cada país o si ya sabe más o menos el contexto de todos los países, más allá de una situación especial como le pasó en Brasil, que justo le tocó elecciones, ¿no? Y más que nada, gracias por recibirnos, tenemos muchas ganas de charlar con él.
I talk to local people when I arrive somewhere. Obviously, we're in Argentina. I have a basic kind of grounding in Argentine politics. You know, I remember Galtieri, I remember the Junta, I remember the Desaparecidos, I remember all of that. I've been involved a little bit with an initiative started in Buenos Aires to identify Argentine dead in Darwin Cemetery in the Falklands. I met Macri, you see the president now, when he was the mayor. We went to visit some schools in Buenos Aires because I was involved with a charity called ALAS, which was an initiative to raise awareness and money for early child education over the whole of Latin America. In fact, we shot a video for that back in 2012, I think. With a director called Diego Kaplan, which I've just managed to get a 4K version of, so maybe I'll show it at the show. In fact, part of my mission on coming back here now, and I've asked my people to track down the kids who I filmed with then, because it's 6 years ago.
With the ALAS people?
The content of the video tells the story of a real man whose name I can't remember. He's supposed to be my friend in the video. I didn't know him from Adam. But he makes instruments out of waste material that he finds lying around or on rubbish dumps or whatever. He makes these strange instruments out of tin cans and bits and pieces, which is a beautiful idea. They don't sound great, obviously, but... So the idea was that I know him and I go and visit him in the whatever you call that thing that isn't a favela, and that we work with some local kids. And we did work with some local kids. So I want to see the kids go. I want them to come to the show. I want to see how they've grown up. You know, one of them was this big and he played the drums. He was very cute and very good and blah, blah, blah. But now he'll be a teenager. Also, I know coming to the show, I know this for sure. I've got some of the mothers of the soldiers who we have now, I say we, it's a big team of people. As far as I was concerned, led by an Argentine journalist called Gabby Consifi, and there were 122 dead bodies in the ground. Nobody knew which hole they were in.
Yeah, yeah,
we've
yeah.
now identified 102.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eso, so 20 to go.
Le quería preguntar, justo nosotros en la radio tuvimos la oportunidad de entrevistar a Jeffrey Cardoso, el general inglés que hizo posible...
Jeffrey, he's not a fucking general, he was a captain. Oh no, he was an English, he was a British officer. I can't wait to see him. No, I'm going to see him this week, so I can't wait to see him. He's a really beautiful guy, yeah.
¿Qué le pasa a él? ¿Por qué se involucra en eso? Sabemos que está involucrado. Para los argentinos es muy importante toda esa identificación de cuerpos, pero él, siendo un artista que llena estadios, tiene como dos personalidades, ¿no? La del artista y hay otra que es el interés político, por ejemplo, por Malvinas, por todo esto que ocurrió, que él está metido. ¿Qué es lo que le pasa personalmente con eso?
Well, Jeffrey was in the army. He was under orders. Go and bury these dead archers. Yes, sir. So he did. But he did it. He did it scrupulously and he's got a big, big heart, Jeffrey. And he was always deeply concerned about the lack of identification on the bodies of these men. How did I get involved? I got an email one day from Gabby Consifi, yeah. who was writing an article about something or other, and the only thing I did really that I think was important at all was I followed it down diplomatic channels. I wrote letters to Whitehall in London saying you have to encourage this and also allow it. And they wrote back and said, it's nothing to do with Whitehall or the British government. This is a matter for the Legislative Council of the Falkland Islands. So I found out the name of the chairperson. She's called Sharon Halford. And I wrote her an eloquent, I have to say, an impassioned letter asking the Legislative Council to allow a Red Cross forensic team in. They never replied to me, but they allowed it. And people give me credit for that, for which I thank them, because it's a great thing to be involved in.
But anyway, I think you would agree that it's not the same if I write that letter that if Roger Waters writes that letter.
I don't know. Yeah, probably. So they obviously didn't just go, fuck him, and tear it up and throw it away. They obviously... and I like to think that they sat round, and so they sat round in a corrugated iron hut and went, look, we've got the... What do you think? You know, and they must have decided at some point, let's do it. But to their eternal credit, I have to say. And it's been an amazing experience. For what matters is that all the people involved in this initiative have got human hearts, and they care about the feelings of others. And in consequence, they care about the feelings of the mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters of these dead men. And it doesn't matter what their nationality is or whatever. We can all understand how difficult it must be, not just to lose a child in a war, but for them not to know where the body is and not to be able to go to a specific place to put a flower or to be quiet for a minute. It's difficult. So this is a really good thing that they've all done.
¿Cuál es, le voy a preguntar, cuál es su recuerdo personal de 1982 durante la guerra? Si él tiene algún recuerdo, si estaba en Inglaterra o está dando vueltas por el mundo, por supuesto, ¿no?
No, I was in England. I wrote a lot about the Malvinas / Falklands War because I wrote an album then. It was the last album I made with Pink Floyd, and it's called The Final Cut. And it's actually dedicated to my father. And it's called A Requiem for the Post-War Dream. So it's the record is very specifically about that, about the Falklands. But it's more generally, interestingly enough, about the twin-prong attack upon liberty, one by Margaret Thatcher, who with Ronald Reagan was one of the chief proponents of the Chicago School of Economics, which is called neoliberalism, which encouraged the idea of rampant free trade and completely deregularized capitalism, which was supposed to save the world because it was supposed to be a principle that would create enormous wealth that would trickle down and support.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And so obviously we now know that it was an absolute disaster and may well destroy the world. It has created Trump. Neo-fascism is spreading all over the world, not just in the United States, but we've just come from Brazil, where, as you know...
Bolsonaro.
Exactly. Bolsonaro has just won the presidential election. So, God forbid, he'll probably bulldoze the Amazon rainforest and sell it off privately to people so that they can get even richer and in consequence will destroy the whole fucking planet. But that's what neoliberalism does. It rushes hell-bent towards the destruction of this fragile planet that we call home and that I would like to think we might call home for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but it's very much in the balance, because they believe that the Holy Grail is the accumulation of wealth, nothing else. That's it. I don't know what Macri's like. I haven't seen him for like, however many years it was. But I have a genuine, I have a basic mistrust of professional politicians. You know, why are they doing that job? It must be misery, mustn't it? Imagine having to go to all those meetings and kiss all those babies and grease all those palms. It can't be easy. With my shows, or during my show, I make speeches all the time during my shows, but if there's any way that I can encourage the like-minded who have a heart, who want to identify the dead children of mothers, grief, and who want to prevent war in the future.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote a short piece years ago when somebody said that I had come out and said that the Malvinas are Argentina. I said, I never said that. But what I did say was that the only thing that was important is that not one more drop of blood should be shed on the colonial pretensions of long-dead monarchs, which is what the Malvinas and Falkland Islands. This is a fight between Charles I of Spain, or whoever it was, and some old monarch in England, you know, in the 16th century. Somebody, I think he was a Chilean, again, I can't remember his name, but some Chilean who was involved in trying to negotiate a peace at the time said, the war in the Malvinas is like two bald men fighting over a comb. And now, you know, and you could say, all right, he's having a bit of a laugh at the expense of something that's serious, but he's right. You know, this is insane that people are dying. And it's only on the basis of the fact that General Galtieri and Margaret Thatcher were both crazy people who didn't give a fuck about people dying. They don't care about people dying. They have some kind of an agenda that's about their feelings of insecurity or inferiority that motivates them to behave in ways that are disgusting and appalling that you would never crave. And, weirdly enough, they get supported for it. Margaret Thatcher had the lowest approval ratings of almost any politician ever in English politics until she went to war. And suddenly she was a great heroine. Horrible woman. Yeah. Horrible, horrible woman. Anyway,
Galtieri is horrible,
digress.
Too. Galtieri horrible too.
Both of them. They should have put them in an octagon and let them fight it out.
Naked. Le quiero preguntar algo con respecto a la música también y blanquearle un poco mi remera, ¿no? Yes. I want to say two things. La primera es que la remera no es casualidad, me acompañó mucho tiempo. Esta remera tiene un agujero, es real.
Oh.
Y yo quiero preguntarle algo acerca de las cosas que hablamos y acerca de la música, ¿no?
Oh, that's fantastic. It's a bootleg.
Lo increíble es que de las cosas que estamos hablando, él antes habló, por ejemplo, del padre y de la canción que escribió en The Final Cut y todo lo que estamos hablando, y es una obra que sigue vigente. Entonces yo me pregunto, lo primero que me pregunto es, cuando escribió The Wall hace muchos años, si se imaginó que era algo que, bueno, ahora pasa esto, pero el mundo va a cambiar, o supo que iba a seguir vigente 40 años.
I suppose I thought that I might be opening hearts and minds by writing about my experience and my feelings, and to some extent I think I have during my career. But we have to understand that 40 years is... Where did that go?
Yeah.
I don't think we should be too concerned. Obviously, things are a bit desperate now because we are destroying the planet and we are murdering countless millions of people because there's profit in war. There's no other reason for the Americans and the Russians and the Belgians and the French and the British mainly to be selling weapons to anybody who's prepared to buy them to go and slaughter people. It's really good business. The great thing about weapons is that they're unbelievably expensive and they go bang. So they have built-in obsolescence. You know, it's perfect. Also, you keep making new ones. So when the F-35 becomes obsolete, however much F-35s cost, like $1 billion each or something insane. Well, then you can put them all in a bit of Arizona and let them rot and build a whole new lot. It's a way of stealing money from poor people. That's all war is for now. It's how to steal money from poor people and give it to very, very rich people. One of the problems and part of the reason that we're here today is that I can only play my music for rich people.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking expensive. Well, A, my show is very expensive to put on. But B, you know, I always think sort of the most rewarding show that we've all done in the last couple of years was when the mayor of Mexico City went, come and play in Zocalo Square and we'll let anybody in. We'll pay for it. The city will pay for it. So why not gather taxes from rich people and put on shows and then they're free? That would be so much better than trying to make a profit out of it, which is what we have to do. But he did it that one day. We had about 300,000 people came to Zocalo in the middle of Mexico City, and it was fantastic. The atmosphere was incredible.
Está muy bueno lo que dice, porque por un lado él le gustaría eso y como es una contradicción que cuanto el show que hace es espectacular, pero claro, eso tiene un costo y termina siendo para gente que lo puede pagar y no es quizá toda la gente que a él le gustaría llegar, ¿no?
Yeah, I think it should be a civic responsibility, but the problem then is you're giving power to the state, so you have to you need to expect a benign government who will provide this kind of a thing. So why can't the state go, oh, they want to see him, let's have a word with a few of the wealthy people and increase their taxes a bit and put on the odd rock and roll show or anything else, or art, or build schools, or
a beer school, yeah.
You know, provide healthcare or housing
don't steal it, will be right.
Don't steal it.
Yeah.
Just don't accumulate it. Stop stealing the money.
I don't want to finish this interview without talking about little bit of music history, some lyrics. I don't know what happened to you, or for you it's like boring to all. Oh,
I don't know. What's the question?
Okay, bien, me gusta. Bueno, preguntale si hay un par de canciones que quedan en la historia y al tenerlo adelante, uno quiere saber de su boca cómo fue, si él se acuerda del momento que las escribió, cómo fue, etcétera. En este caso, por ejemplo, no sé, Wish You Were Here, para empezar por algún lugar.
Okay, well, I can tell you the story of Wish You Were Here. We were rehearsing somewhere near King's Cross in London, and I heard Dave playing this phrase on the guitar. Bam, bega, dung, dung, dee, da, da, that. And he's sitting there playing it. And he got to the end of it, and I went, what's that? And he said, oh, I don't know, it's just something I was fiddling around with. And I went, okay, hello. How does it go on? No, that's it. And so he goes, no, 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 no. Goes, resolves back to G major. And I said, I think I could do something with that. Do you mind? No. All right. So I learned it very quickly because it's really, really simple. And so I get to the end of it and I've got a piece of paper and a biro and whatever, and I go, where could it go? C major, D major, A minor.
Nah, it's not so easy. I can't believe it's so easy. I can't believe it.
I probably wrote the song in an hour.
Nah. Can't believe that. I'm sorry. I can't believe that.
I wrote the song probably in an hour. And then I went, okay, now where is the song? There isn't a song, it's just a riff.
Okay.
Where is the song? And then I went, all right, where would I go from G major, C major? So now it's a chord. So you think you can tell heaven from hell? And the words came out very quickly. They're just, because I was thinking about loss and also about betrayal as well. So, for instance, did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in a cage? It's fundamentally important. Fundamentally important to me, because I didn't. I would rather have a walk-on part in the war. I do not want to live in a cage. however lead the role might be. So I would rather be nobody and do the right thing than be the most important person in the world doing the wrong thing. The fighting for what's right is what that song's about. And it's not something that... Dave doesn't have any idea what the song's about. He never did. He never understood any of my work. I know he didn't. Huh. I've spoken to him. But it's important to me because it expresses... And it is, you're right. When I see them singing it every night in Brazil, where we've just come from, and they will hear as well, they will know what the words mean. They will have figured out the translation and the whatever. And they will understand the questions involved. But in Brazil, where they're going to allow Bolsonaro to destroy the Amazon rainforest and kill us all, then some of the lyrics in the second verse about a cool breeze and cold comfort for change to be exchanged, you know, and all of that, they get it. They do know that it's about them. It's not just, it's about all of us. This is about, do we have a responsibility as human beings to care about one another? And I believe that we do. Our whole show, the whole of the show that we're doing now,
it's for that.
Only about that. So I have narrowed my focus down a bit. No, a lot. But to that very... It's a very simple question. There is always a right thing to do. The trick with life is figuring out what it is and then doing it, and then having the courage to do it. Isn't it?
Yeah. Pero fíjate qué importante que es una canción que estamos hablando que sigue siendo, acaba de hablar de Bolsonaro, una canción que sirve y es como su ADN, ¿no? Por eso está bueno también conocer más de él a través de sus canciones. Seguimos con eso.
But that's what I wrote to Sharon Halford. In my letter to her, I wrote, there is always a right thing to do.
That. Is there?
It's a question of figuring out what they did the right thing, and I thank
them. She didn't reply, but they did the right thing.
She didn't reply, but they did the right thing, and it's so good. Because it doesn't just benefit the Madres and their families. It benefits the people of the Falkland Islands as well. When you do the right thing, it brings joy to your life, you know.
Que le voy a preguntar algo personal, si su padre, que tenemos entendido que murió en la guerra, si siempre supo dónde estaba enterrado, también creo que la historia es que él después se enteró, si siente similitudes con lo que pasó en Malvinas.
We don't know where his body is, though we assume it's somewhere near...
In Italy.
Aprilio, Aprilio is the name of the town that the battle was closest to.
But you don't know where it's physically?
No, there's a memorial in Monte Cassino. There's a Commonwealth War Graves Commission memorial. So his name is up on a marble slab there. So I've been there. In fact, it's in the movie, the war movie. And I've been to the Wadi, a stream bed in Aprilio where he was when he died. But his body was never found. So.
Por eso sí se siente tan importante cuando uno lo
escucha. It was intense, almost hand to hand, except it was tank to hand, you know. It was a big push by Panzer Division to drive the Allied forces back into the sea. So there wasn't a lot left when it was over.
That's why you feel so identified, maybe with this fight to identify the bodies in the Malvinas.
Yeah. Anybody who suffers, you know, even young as I was only, when he was killed, I was only 5 months old. But I've lived with the trauma all my life, so I can to some extent identify with the trauma. So when I see them being murdered in Syria or Palestine or Iraq, or in this senseless violence because people are so greedy, my heart goes out to anybody who experiences this kind of trauma. And they become faceless, and they become refugees, and they become Arabs, or they become whatever. Yeah, well, you know, they're not. They're coppersmiths and physicists and teachers and librarians and shopkeepers and football players, and they're human beings, and they all had lives and connections with their families and their uncles and aunts, and at some point they all lived in a society that was human and humane. But then somehow we've organized the world so badly that we impose our craziness on them, and suddenly they live in rubble, and their children are dead, and their mothers and fathers are dead, and everybody's dead, and it's horrific beyond all imagination. I mean, your stomach turns over if you slam your finger in the door. Imagine, I mean, I can't imagine. None of us can, nobody who hasn't been at the sharp end of a highly explosive shell or a bomb can possibly imagine what it must be like. I don't think.
No, dejo pensar en el título del último disco de él, que yeah. es esta la vida que queremos, you know, por eso. Sí. Is this the life we really want?
Yeah.
And connected to all these thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I wrote a long poem after the invasion of Iraq that was mainly a rant at, Bush and Cheney and Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and the other neocons in their headlong rush to destroy the world. And obviously I'm making the point, no, it's not. It's long, but I'll probably publish it. I'll publish it one of these days, because why not? It's become something of a historical document now. But it does remind me always that on February the 15th, I think it was, in 2003, 20 million people demonstrated all over the world to try and prevent Blair and Bush from invading Iraq on trumped-up stories that were clearly not everybody with half a brain could see it was nonsense. And yet they persuaded Colin Powell to stand up in the United Nations and pretend that what they said was their intelligence was real. Well, those 20 million people all knew it was rubbish, and yet somehow they gained the consensus to go in and kill a million people.
Roger, we don't have much time, so...
We don't have any time.
Yeah. So,
we've been talking for hours.
Muy rápido con ping-pong de preguntas. tema preferido que escribió. Su tema preferido de los que él escribió.
We'll come to the show.
No, yes, we will.
Okay, we'll try to rush a few questions before we're finished. So first,
tema preferido de que escribió.
Your favorite song that you wrote.
I don't have a favorite song.
El que más disfruta.
I don't have a favorite color.
No tiene color.
I don't have a favorite country.
Your favorite song you enjoy playing at the show.
What?
The one that you most enjoy playing at the show.
Last Refugee.
From the last record.
Yeah.
Bien.
Okay. Bien. Es el último disco.
Bien. País, ¿no? Bueno, agradecerle mucho esta entrevista. Sí. Que si nos deja sacarnos una foto, firmar un disco y eso con el equipo. Mm-hmm. Y bueno, disfrutaremos el show que tenemos muchas ganas de ir.
Okay. Thank you so much. We are very excited about the show, and we really want to go there and see
right,
you
cool.
live. If you allow us to maybe take a picture with the team or sign some little thing, it would be very special for us, but it's of course not an obligation.
Why are you putting that in a radio show?
okay, now we got it later.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? Oh,
should I run for president? Mother, should I trust the government?
Mother, did it need to be so high?